KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We're here Thursday night to rock you out in our geek way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We've got an awesome show for you tonight, so thank you for sticking around and listening. And first off, before I get to anything, I'd like to address some traffic 101 or just driving 101 in general. Imagine yourself if you're in your car. This is easier. If you're not in your car, imagine you're sitting in front of your steering wheel.
Okay.
If you look to the left,
I've got my hands usually at 10 and 12.
That's great.
Okay.
Usually to the left of your steering wheel, there's this sort of stick kind of thing that sticks out. Usually,
yeah, a little lever type
thing. Yeah, yeah. Usually, you know, maybe it controls your lights or this or that. Mm-hmm. Well, it also, when you move it up and move it down, it turns on these magical little lights outsides of your car that blink for people to let them know if you want to turn left or right.
Okay. Shut the front door. No.
I know. It's pretty amazing technology. I'm sure we've had probably since the 50s or 60s maybe. But anyway, it's amazing
technology.
Revolutionary new technologies. Yes, yes. And I just wanted to, you know, just in case you didn't know your car had that ability, it does.
Mm-hmm.
The other little tip is yield signs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, like stop signs, okay, you drive up, you stop.
Right.
The yield sign kind of gives you that magical little thing like, well, if there's no traffic, I can just go.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's traffic, I got to yield for it.
Yeah, you have to stop every now and then.
Yeah, you got to, it's not just a, oh, I'll just drive through even though there's oncoming traffic, like my truck coming at your van.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're supposed to yield.
But I'm sorry, I just did it the one time. I didn't know it would be an issue. I didn't even know you would be on the road.
So there you go. Just a couple little driving traffic 101 tips for the folks out there, because, you know, we're kind of traffic time.
Mm-hmm. One more tip.
Oh, okay.
Typically, if you want to go closer to the speed limit or just a touch under, stay to the right.
Yeah.
If you want to go
good one.
Higher than the speed limit or around the speed limit, stay more to the left. If you see lights creeping up on you or cars creeping up on you in your window, or the people on your right are passing you, you need to get over to the right.
I usually get that one backwards. I usually speed in the slow lane.
It's a common mistake, but that's what
I don't
we're
view it
for.
As a mistake. I view it as the way to do things.
Poetic justice.
So there you go. Some
when you've got people driving 10 miles an hour in the fast lane, I mean, you don't have a choice.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully our driving tips
change
that.
Yes.
Anyway, right. Let's get back to the regular show in hand.
Yeah. Little star rainbow.
But yeah, let's get back to the show at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we got a great show for you tonight. Got some core, we got some geek talk, and of course we got the news. And starting us all off, our new releases.
Yes.
And, it's...
it's that time of the summer.
Fantastic. New releases in theater this week.
Kinda dead this week, is what you're saying.
Well, I'll let the audience be the judge. We've got the identical... Son of a preacher rejects his father's desire for him to join the ministry and instead embarks on a career as a rock singer. As he struggles to pursue his dream and rise to stardom, he finds love, pain, success, and failure, and ultimately uncovers a hidden family secret that reveals who he really is. Now, I don't really know if this is bad, but I did see on Metacritic that it had an 18 the last time I checked.
Ouch.
So,
that's
hurtful. Hey, you know.
Maybe some really low reviewers just got the jump on it.
Yeah, maybe it's better than that. Anyway, moving on, we've got God Help the Girl. While in the hospital dealing with some emotional problems, Eve starts writing songs as a way of getting better. These leads her out of the hospital into Glasgow, Scotland, where she meets James and Cassie, two musicians at a crossroads of their own.
Ooh.
Then we have Frontierer. Set in the tumultuous border area of Arizona and Mexico, Frontierer follows the events that take place after a former Arizona sheriff's wife is killed while riding on their ranch property. It would appear a Mexican man crossing in the U.S. illegally is at fault. As former sheriff and current sheriff search for answers, lives are changed forever, and the facts as to who is really at fault in this tragedy are nearly as tenuous and complex as the issues and tensions between the people who live in this region on either side of the line.
It was the sheriff. Spoilers.
Could be. Which one? Former or current?
Current.
Ooh.
I'm going with current.
Are you sure it wasn't the deputy?
Maybe. No,
sorry.
No,
couldn't resist.
No. And finally, we have Falcon Rising. John Falcon Chapman travels to Brazil to hunt down his sister's brutal attackers, in the process discovering an underground world of drugs, prostitution, and police corruption ruled by the Japanese mafia.
What?
Falcon.
In Brazil?
Falcon. In Brazil. That's the twist.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Probably should just go see Guardians of the Galaxy again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a safe bet.
Can't go wrong with that one. Let's see. If your DVD or Blu-ray is feeling a little lonely, perhaps these discs might give it a little company. Perhaps 14 Blades on Blu-ray and DVD. A Loyal Imperial.
That's far too many blades.
Wow. I talked about that like a couple weeks ago in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, I want to hear how you review it.
it's a foreign film, so it probably didn't last long on the American
notes, comparing and contrasting
American screens.
Well, mine was technically the synopsis from Metacritic, so it's theirs versus.
Yeah.
See, a loyal Imperial Guard is thrust into the center of a political whirlwind when the Imperial Court has been overthrown by an ambitious insider. Now this legend of the Guard must seek out fellow loyalists to the Empire. Fellow loyalists and set the Empire back to rights while dodging the ones who want him dead.
That needs dramatic hand movements to go along with it.
For the radio.
Right.
For radio.
No, I'm just saying.
Theater of the mind.
You can imagine out there in car land or wherever you are.
Radiolandia.
Well, we're in radio land right now and we're broadcasting to, outside land.
To extended Radiolandia. We are in Studiolandia.
Okay. Outer Radiolandia.
There you go.
Okay. Hello, everybody, in Outer Radiolandia.
Yay.
Yay.
Maybe you're in Portlandia.
Hey.
Right.
Perhaps you're not feeling quite so, not feeling like in a foreign film, perhaps a little closer to home. How about Crossbones on DVD? In the Age of High Seas Adventure. I'm sorry, the Age of High Sea Adventure is a place of deep intrigue. The famed pirate Blackbeard controls the seas near his island.
Aye.
But that is only as long as he can keep his head on his shoulders and out of the crown's noose.
Yar.
But in such a contest of wills, is either side truly a hero?
Find out in ye Crossbones.
You swab de deck, matey.
With your crossbones. I don't know why I got Australian there, but...
Kill all them!
Right.
So now, then there's a Heavenly Sword on Blu-ray and DVD. A Kingdom Eternal.
A Heavenly Sword?
It's Heavenly Sword, the one based on the PS3 game.
Huh, okay.
Why it was listed now, I don't know. Maybe they're giving it a new cover or something. The description was a little vague on why it was being put into the listing, but here it is. All
right.
It looked like a fun game. And it looked like a very cinematic style. So it's a kingdom in turmoil. The power-hungry King Bohan has set his sights on the Heavenly Sword, a blade of that legend says channels the power of the divine. Noriko's clan has protected the blade, but now, to keep from the falling into the hands of darkness, she takes up the weapon herself to save us all.
Interesting fact.
Hmm.
The writer of that game is the same writer of Tomb Raider.
Oh.
Huh. Like the most recent one or the last one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, they did a spot about her.
Very cool. Then wrapping it up with The Return on Blu-ray and DVD. An unassuming small-town girl is beset with visions that seem to come from the beyond. This, on top of her crumbling personal life, are leading her to doubt her grip on reality. And that rounds out our selection of Blu-ray and DVD. Much like our theatre choices, is a bit limited this time. So maybe Netflix will save you.
Maybe. Speaking of saving, if you are an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
And when you get done with that, and if you have a hankering to play some video games, there's some new ones out. Maybe you've heard of a mystical land that has had three previous incarnations that is filled with simulated people called The Sims.
Simulated people.
The Sims 4, released on Tuesday. It basically looks like they've went completely hog wild with all of the customization for your character, so you can make yourself look pretty realistic. Still reasonably cartoony, but
yeah,
you can go mad at this
point. You still look like a video game character.
Yeah. Warriors of Orochi 3 Ultimate is coming to all of the consoles and Vita.
DS too?
Or 3DS? No. I mean, okay. Xbox One, PS4, PS3, and Vita.
Ah, okay.
Okay. If you're familiar with Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors, this is the ultimate mashup of the two for the third time. Okay, and then Warframe. Yes, it did exist on the computer and then on PS4, but Xbox One finally has it. Basically, you can deck out your personal character with just about every customization that you can think of if there's a mechanized ninja way of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
The actual gameplay is nothing really special except that you get to go absolutely crazy on your own creativity on how to create a character that is reasonably to your liking.
It's free, right? Free to play?
It is free to play with microtransactions. So be warned, ye. Other than that, my personal favorite that just came out on Tuesday, Harmonix brought out Dance Central Spotlight. So we're going to talk about it a little bit later in depth, but I highly recommend you check it out.
Especially if you have a one. Or is it, did they make it for 362?
I believe that it's just out for the one, Xbox One, right now, but they are going to make a 360 version eventually, is what I've been hearing. I don't think there's a release date on that quite yet, though. But we'll keep you posted, 360 players.
Indeed, indeed. So, let's see. If you would like to expand your visual entertainment beyond the video games and something a little bit more tangible,
maybe,
you might consider picking up some comic books. A short list of some you might be interested in: Grendel versus the Shadow, number one from Dark Horse. Matt Wagner is back to tell a tale of Hunter Rose and the original Hunter of the Shadows, the Shadow himself. It is both written and drawn by Matt Wagner, so it's going to look pretty cool.
All right.
Apparently it's also in something they call prestige format, which I think means it's bigger than usual, or perhaps more pages. I'm not sure which.
Or smaller. That's prestigious.
It can right? be, I guess.
It's the smallest version of the comic book there is.
Perhaps you prefer your heroes in tights. Well, then maybe you want to pick up Green Lantern Futures End number one from DC, obviously. The Black Lanterns are rising again, and the only person that can stop them is the Relic, because the Relic alone has the knowledge that may banish them for good. And will Hal be up to embracing his part in the ultimate end of the Black Lanterns? Dun, dun, dun. Then over at Marvel Studios, or Marvel Comics, I should say, it's Death of Wolverine, number one. This is the culmination of the 3 months to die storyline that's been running for a while. And it sounds like an interesting ploy. I'm not sure if it will, they'll actually kill off Wolverine, though. Mm. It'll be interesting to see, because like, for a while, like, you couldn't keep him out of like Marvel crossover titles. He was everywhere. But still, it could be, it's interesting, interesting opportunity for storytelling, if nothing else. Whether he actually dies or not is sort of kind of on a different issue. But there you are. That's something to consider. Perhaps you want to combine your comicdom and your gamedom and want to pick up Silent Hill Downpour and story number one. This is based on the game Silent Hill Downpour. And ambiance has always been that game's strong suit. So there you
ambiance.
Go. If you enjoy the games, or even thought the movie was okay, you might want to check this out. Then we'll round it out with
Yar. What about Crossbones, the comic book?
I don't think Crossbones has a comic book just yet. Yar. Let's round it out with a couple from WoW Cool. It's
our friends at WoW Cool.
Our friends at WoW Cool Comics. Called the Wrenchies. It's it looks like it's a son of a.
Are they made of wrenches?
No, it looks like.
They fix things.
No, it's a.
They have heart wrenching things happen to them.
It's an alternate reality future, which is run by a gang of evil oppressive gang of evil swordsmen, and a group of children that fight against them. They're called the Wrenchies.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
Yes.
You never see the Wrenchies coming, Yar.
Nope.
So yeah, Farrell Darwimple is the creator. It's a creator-owned comic, so
cool.
There you go.
Okay. All right, and then we'll round out the new releases with my favorite part, the music. Yay.
Yar. Which are
some names. All right, first off, we've got this little band called Maroon 5. They've got a new album out. It's called V, but maybe it means five, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like Rocky Five. You know,
maybe
the
they really like the old series V.
It's possible, because this is the fifth full-length release for the Los Angeles rock band, and it features a guest appearance from Gwen Stefani.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. She's not a lizard, is she?
Who knows? I hope not.
Who knows?
Then we have a new album from the Counting Crows. That's right. They have a new album.
What?
Somewhere Under Wonderland, and it's the seventh studio release for the California alternative rock band led by Adam Drivitz, was produced by Brian Deck. Then we have a new album from The Vines called Wicked Nature. It's the sixth full-length release for the Australian alternative rock band led by Craig Nichols, was funded through Pledge Music and co-produced with Paul McKercher. Then we have Coves, their new album. It's a debut full-length release called Soft Friday from the British duo of Beck Wood and John Ridgard. And finally, we have Half Japanese, the album Overjoyed, the first release in 13 years for the punk band led by Jad Fair, was produced by John Dietrich of Deerhoof. So there you go. New releases. A little sampling of all those things. And speaking of music, we're going to play some music now. Take a little break and then come back with the news.
Sure. One last comment before I almost missed it in there. In Wild Cool's tweet is Michael DeForge's Lose number 6.
Ah,
there you go.
And speaking of Wild Cool tweeting at us,
you can tweet at us too. You can also comment to us on Facebook if you go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or do a search, Robots Attack, two words, that will also find us. And you can hit us up on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. It's all one word. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the one place to rule them all, the one place for all things Robots Attack, is robotsattack.me. links to all the aforementioned social media stuff, email form if you want to just go through the website. You can also leave comments on our posts. And we also have links and archive episodes of the show posted there as well.
That's right.
You can tweet us whenever you want.
Whenever you want.
Whenever.
24/7. And if there's some other place you think Robots Attack needs to be there, let us know. And we'll try to get up on that as well. So
yeah,
let's tease some news for the folks.
Oh, I don't like being a tease.
Oh, I like it.
Anyway, I'm going to tell you how you can get a free version of The Sims that is completely retro-styled.
Whoa.
Resurrection of a certain blue hero, perhaps?
Whoa. All right. Well, those sound interesting to me. Hopefully they sound interesting to you. All right, let's take a music break and then come back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM Underground Sound. We are now heading into
news.
That's right. We're in the news. Who's got our first news story?
I'll throw out the first one. For those who may or may not remember back in 2002, there was a live-action show based on an animated series based on a comic book known as The Tick.
Okay.
Yes, that was a bit of a ways around, but it was. I always felt the show was a bit underrated. It was not to say it was the greatest thing ever, but I think it did what it did really well.
Yeah,
and
not as good as the cartoon, in my opinion.
Yeah, but there's only the physical limitations of the real world and budgets for special effects notwithstanding. It did a pretty good, decent job.
No, I expect a really high budget on stuff like that.
So The Tick was a rather short-lived series.
About a big blue man who's nigh invulnerable.
Mm-hmm. And his small moth sidekick.
Right.
The series, it sounds like, may be picked up by Amazon.
What?
Yes. And apparently they have already gotten Edlund, who wrote the original comic book and was instrumental in the creation of the series originally, to come back to write more. And most of the original cast is also interested in returning as well. So... That's
okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially since they've went on to do like other fairly popular things since then.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I'm looking to see how this turns out. Plus, naturally, having Patrick Warburton back as the Tick is kind of awesome as well. So
yeah, and what I'd actually heard was that Warburton himself went into Amazon and pitched it, and he was the person who was instrumental in bringing this incarnation to our lives.
Mr. Warburton, my admiration for you has no limits. Uh-huh. I salute you, sir.
Right. And fun fact, the cartoon series was actually, the first season was written by the same people who created Venture Brothers.
Explains so much.
Yeah. I don't believe the second season, from what I understand, but yeah, similar sense of humor, except toned down for Saturday mornings back in the day.
Yes. But needless to say, I'm excited about this, and I may have to be raiding some of my friends' Amazon Prime memberships to see this show.
That could work. okay, I have a question for you guys. Are you guys interested in getting the Sims 4?
I've actually never played The Sims, but I hear lots of good things. I've seen people like do like, you know, kind of the play with videos on YouTube, and those are pretty fun.
Okay,
I think it was, oh man, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3
okay.
that I ended up playing, and I knew I had to put it down when I realized that I was more concerned about my Sims, like cleaning habits and eating and social life.
Than your own?
Than my own, okay, while I'm yeah. sitting in my like dorm room or whatever, and was like, looking around, wait a minute, something's not right here.
I'm proud of you, sir. Well, anyway, where I was going to go is, are you interested in getting it for free?
Free isn't bad.
Okay.
Let's check it out.
Are you interested in retro things?
I do enjoy a bit of retro.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the rage. They're making like tons of video games that are all retro pixels and the whatnot. Well, you can go out right now and pirate a copy of The Sims 4 and end up with the retro version of the game.
Mm. Oh, I see. So this is a trick of like...
Basically, the copy protection that EA installed on The Sims, I think, is pretty awesome because it basically puts like the censored pixelization for when there's nudity on the entire scene. If you have a pirated copy of The Sims,
see, I call that fair. Like it's not
to me that is awesome.
Yeah,
some of these pictures make it look like way more fun this way because all the menus seem to still work. It's just the actual scene itself has become retroized.
Interesting. I remember when which of the shooters was it? Can't remember which one now, but one of them right before the release, their version of taking down the pirates was to shuffle all of them into their own server system so they couldn't interact with the main game.
Huh.
The people who purchased the game, they were all in their own world where there were 9 invincible monsters that were one hit, one kill on the players. So it's like, oh, that's... They can still somewhat play the game, but it's not impinging on anybody else's ability to enjoy the game. That's fairly clever.
Yeah. This is a big surprise, but this is a direct quote from EA. They currently have no plans to aid the players unable to enjoy their pirated copies of The Sims 4. Instead, the publisher urges affected players to purchase their own copy of the game, which should lack the telltale pixelation.
One would hope.
End quote.
But it won't shock me that there will be people out there going, what?
Right.
EA sucks. They're not going to help me fix my pirated version of their game.
Yeah, there's boards out there apparently already devoted to this.
Shocking.
That is the world, how far it has fallen.
Well, speaking of boards, let's hope this doesn't bore you.
Oh. I hope so too, yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson will play Black Adam in Shazam.
This actually has me really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he mentioned that he was going to be playing a character in DC that had never been seen on film before. Adam has never shown his face in live action.
Right.
The actor has been teasing Shazam for some time, has been in talks to play either Shazam or Black Adam over a period of several years as the project floated through various stages of development. But today, it's official. He's set to play Black Adam. He tweeted, quote, kneel at his feet or get crushed by his boot. My honor to become ... Hashtag Black Adam. Hashtag the anti-hero. Hashtag DC Comics pick .twitter. Picture of the Black Adam and all that jazz. Variety, not Latino Review again. Reports that Darren Lemke, Shrek Forever After, Jack the Giant Slayer, will write the script with Johnson playing Black Adam, who in recent issues of the DC comic book is more of an anti-hero trying to clear his name than a villain.
So, that will be definitely a different change of pace.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
I was actually kind of looking forward to just seeing him as an outright villain. I want to see how that would do. But
well, maybe it'll be like, you know, part of it sort of as the villain kind of thing, and then, you know.
Mostly the villain, and then at the end, this thing is bigger than both of us. We need to join forces against it. You're right.
You're right. I'm in Shazam.
You're right, ancient evil.
Yeah.
Well, Well played, sir. Well played.
We need the Scorpion King.
Right.
Can you smell what Black Adam is cooking?
Right.
Scorpions. Oh. Yeah.
They're high in protein. Mm-hmm. I've heard.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is apparently one of the films revealed in Warner Brothers' big upcoming slate. The studio had purchased several DC movie domain names.
So it looks like. Yeah.
They don't know, you know, like what exactly this one's going to be called, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah, I'd heard someplace too that Warner Brothers has already mentioned that they're more interested in making sure that their movies are fun, quote unquote, than being gritty. So it's stepping away from the normal DC fare quite a bit also, and probably learning a little bit from the Guardians of Galaxy success.
And also the success of the Avengers, which was also long on fun. So, yeah. And I, not that comic book movies can't be more like intense. I mean, intense. But,
filled with hemorrhoids is.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing it, seeing like, you can have both. I mean, you can have stories that take place in both universes. Like, you know, ones that are a little more gritty, cool. Ones that are more lighthearted, enjoyable, also cool.
It's nice to have the variety.
Yeah, because when you evolve one thing, it begins to taste the same after a while.
Right. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy starts out a little bit gritty. Well, not mm-hmm. really gritty, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Very cool.
Amy Ellingston, Iterations and Assertions, is a solo exhibition at the San Jose Institute of Contemporary Art that is running through from June 7th to September 13th. Ellingston's paintings and works explore the relationship between the lightning-fast process of digital technology and the more labor-intensive method of traditional painting and drawing. For more information on this exhibition, please visit www.sjica.org.
Very cool.
It's pretty cool.
All right. Let's see. My next one is about two things close to my heart, space and Lego. In this case, Lego has put into consideration a kit to make the Hubble Space Telescope.
Nah.
Yes, and it's a pretty cool looking model. And let me turn off the reader view so you can see the picture. But I'm looking forward to this. I think it will be pretty awesome. And the thing I like about
it needs bigger solar panels. I demand it.
Well, it's still
I demand it.
Yeah. Anyways, the thing I've liked about like these sorts of kits, the science ones and the architecture kits, is that they are exactly what they are. They are neither. They're not any particular gender or push.
Okay.
I think.
And I was going to ask if it was going to have like women scientists like floating around in space around it.
I'm sure.
With spacesuits. I mean, I don't want it to be like scary or anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you could add your own scientists to assist in the reality of the scenario.
But I just think I need to check to see if that the kit with the women scientists is available again. It was out of stock.
Yeah.
And I'll put like space helmets on them. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Right.
It's also, and there's a decent chance it might actually look awesome because it's going to be, it could also be tied in with the 25th anniversary of the telescope's launch. So that's sort of awesome. The Hubble Space Telescope has the Lego model, I should say, is about 35 to 40% small the size of. So it's
not full size, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
But it is the correct size for Lego minifigures. Oh, I missed this part earlier.
Huh.
Two of which are included. Possibly, as part of the proposal for the kit.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because this kit is not official yet, but it has it got 10,000 votes in their little contest that they hold for like people submit ideas, and then the audience gets to vote.
How could the Hubble not win, though? I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
everybody loves the Hubble.
Mm-hmm. The Hubble is very cool.
Hubster.
The Hubble telescope has brought us all sorts of amazing imagery from deep space, and now we can sort of bring that into our homes just a little bit beyond the astronomy, the Hubble Space Photo of the Day sort of thing from NASA. So yeah. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I really, 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 really hope this happens. Please, Lego, please, 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 please make this happen.
Okay, in the realm of things that have already happened, well,
what?
Sort of have already happened, because, anyway, technicalities. The Verge reports that the rumors are actually proven to be true that World of Warcraft is going to have a Robin Williams character on the genie in their newest expansion, the Warlords of Draenor. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. I'm sorry, Warcraft people, if I got that wrong. Anyway, apparently people who are in the beta have already spotted the character, and it is a genie. Decked out in very much World of Warcraft style. He looks kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he spouts lines from the 1994 Aladdin movie.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's not quite out for everybody, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a thing if it's in the beta and people seem to like it. So, there you go.
Very cool.
That's cool. So, really sure how to follow my next story from that. Well, okay. World of Warcraft.
Was it something about, like, hunting and herding genies or something?
No.
I'm just trying to figure out why it would be awkward.
Did they have Vikings in World of Warcraft?
Of course. All over the place.
All right. Well, there's a story out that they have better identification of Viking corpses, revealing half of the warriors were female.
What?
This article from Tor.com. Shield maidens are not a myth. A recent archaeological discovery has shattered the stereotype of exclusively male Viking warriors sailing out to war while their long-suffering wives wait at home with baby Vikings. There's also been some findings that challenge the whole, quote, rape and pillage thing, too. Researchers at the University of Western Australia decided to revamp the way they studied Viking remains. Previously, researchers had misidentified skeletons as male simply because they were buried with their swords and shields.
Oh.
Female remains were identified by their oval brooches and not much else. By studying osteological signs of gender within the bones themselves, researchers discovered that approximately half of the remains were actually female warriors, given a proper burial with their weapons.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's been so difficult for people to envision women's historical contributions as solely getting married and dying in childbirth, but you can't argue with numbers, and 50-50 is pretty damn good. The presence of female warriors has also researchers now wondering just how accurate the stereotypes of raping and pillaging actually are. Women may have accompanied male Vikings in those early invasions of England in much greater numbers than scholars earlier supposed. Researcher McLeod concludes, rather than the ravaging rovers of legend, the Vikings arrived as marriage-minded colonialists. In many ways, this discovery is well-timed with the recent uproar over Thor becoming a title for both sexes instead of an exclusively male name. Fingers crossed this means that pop culture could start including more female warriors and stuff. So... But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I mean, like, if you watch the Viking show, they actually have, like, some pretty solid... They have one awesome, like, female character, and then they actually have, like, female warriors that go out with them and stuff. So, but yeah, it's cool to
It's not just Hollywood saying there's probably some girls out there. They're like, no, actually, there's fact to say that there was girls out there. Women, I should say.
Yeah, and there probably, probably were more out through history. It's just...
Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, like the remains buried with swords up until that point.
Yeah.
You know, dudes
with
swords. Oh, this
must be a guy.
Yeah.
No. Right. So sexist.
Yeah. And also, like, the one thing about skeletons is that rarely they're fully intact. So you sometimes have to, like, piece them together and go, oh, actually, this bone piece here is not what we thought it was. So nice to know that they are going back and checking their work.
Yeah.
So very cool.
Yeah, the interesting thing too, it's been a while ago, but I did a story about like classic women's armors and whatnot.
Yeah, I remember that
and
one.
And how it's kind of a big deal, people trying to get out of fiction all of the like boob plate armor and stuff like that.
Yeah, this story brings that up, one that mentioned like, oh, hopefully there'll be more, you know, female warriors in pop culture that aren't wearing boob armor.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, but to me, it's the perfect illustration that if they literally couldn't tell them apart because they were wearing the exact same things, mm-hmm. I mean, that gives a perfect explanation why we haven't really popularized women as looking different on the battlefield when all you see is a bunch of people that look like men in the classic tapestries and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Or just a series of armors which completely hide any gender, so it's like,
right,
who's to know who was actually inside?
Yeah, especially with Vikings, with you have popularly longer hair and so on.
Mm-hmm. And if it happened to be clean shaven and there wasn't enough time to get a good look at the person, you wouldn't know before the axe hit you in the head, you know? It's like, hey, I think that's a
best case scenario.
Yeah, if you're lucky. So, following on sort of the pillaging and misunderstood yet being better understood aspects of kind of cultural significance, recently in The Guardian, they mentioned that the police had been called upon to investigate a young man, or I don't know if he's actually young or not, a software engineer in Bristol, which is a town in England, in case you're unfamiliar. The reason was he had on was prototyping some ideas for a game called Thermonuclear War, and as such he was, you know, drawing maps of the world, because the idea of the game was to use Google Maps data and overlay onto that this game scenario where people have tried to eliminate other countries and how does that affect the gameplay, who rises in power, who falls, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
But he's drawing out the sketches of the scenario, so to speak, on whiteboards in his apartment. Oh. And apparently,
then invites friends over that he doesn't explain it to.
No, it was one of the kind of superintendent people was coming by for just a routine inspection. He just left out the boards because there was nothing to hide about them other than that they were strange looking in terms of like what they were depicting.
Right.
And at some point later on, he got a notice from the police saying, yeah, your landlord effectively has notified us that you are putting together basically they were unsure, but that he would sound like he was up to something nefarious. And
well, that was nice of the police to inform him. Mm-hmm. So
he was like, you know, naturally a bit uncertain about the outcome of all of this and what was going to happen to his
stuff. They were watching him, waiting for him to like go jumping out the window as soon as he read that or something like that. It's like, then we know because he ran.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
But it's one of those like amusing sort of like real life problems with trying to design things that aren't always part of the standard social scenario, because
right. Well, I mean, like we've heard of a few games now that are about creating a global virus outbreak that successfully wipes out humanity. I can imagine that being a little bit awkward to plan out and in front of relatives and friends.
Yeah. Yeah, and it sounds like this guy lives by himself, so like he wouldn't have to think twice about putting away the whiteboards while he's working on it. So it's just amusing. Like, like so far nothing has happened. Like, you know, he had a notice that they had done this, and he kind of like, you know, got in contact, and explained himself.
Like, and, whoa, wait.
But so far, no knocks on the door, no black helicopters, no unmarked cars sitting outside of his apartment. So he's probably okay, but it's one of those amusing side effects of the world in which we live. So there you are.
All right. My next story is actually more details about what they're targeting for the Oculus Rift, since they haven't actually nailed down what the stats are going to be for it yet. And so they have confirmed that they're shooting for above 1080p, mostly because they want it to have a little bit better text recognition, and it's going to have much higher refresh rate than just about any TV out there, which is actually also a really good idea.
Yes.
And it definitely puts it in range of making it something that people might want to have if they don't have a lot of room or don't have a giant TV yet or whatnot. But it's also kind of scary because, to me, it lends itself to that stereotype of, like, okay, we're going to have hundreds of people just sitting in little dark rooms and so on. But past that, the other thing that's kind of surprised people is that the price point that they're shooting for is much lower than I think anybody really expected it to be. They're shooting for between $200 and $400. So if it ends up on the $200 side for something that seems to pull off a pretty reasonably spectacular amount of tech, that's not too bad, especially considering that they're selling the Kinect for like $150 by itself. So
yeah, shoot, that would be really cool. Like better than HD on right in front of your face.
Right. Yeah, so, heck, if they could make an upgraded version that was like 4K and corner that market, they'd be in the money right there, just because that's like the new holy grail that everybody's shooting for right now.
Yeah.
And they could probably pull it off with a lot less cost just because it's much smaller.
Yeah,
there was one of the podcasts I was listening to, they were talking about a game on the Oculus Rift where it's two people, one person wearing the Oculus Rift, and they're like, they see sort of like a bomb kind of thing. And then the other person is behind them holding like sheets of paper. I guess it's like right now it's like a binder and it has random sheets, and I guess it's sort of like randomly generated the bomb or whatever that the person who's wearing the Rift sees. And that person has to describe the bomb to the person with the paper. So it's like, okay, what do you see? There's like this red tube thing coming out, and you have to flip through and like, okay, does it look like this? And so you kind of like, you know, simulate the person that's, you know, in the building with the bomb or whatever, and then the person on the outside like talking all like, okay, what do you see? Like this. And then it sounded like a good way of, you know, creating like teamwork between people, where kind of generally right now a lot of the games or things are sort of like solo experiences.
Or competitive experiences.
But this is actually like interacting with someone, and it would kind of alleviate that fear of you having it on and just being like lost and like not really knowing what's going on in the outside world. If you had that other person with you,
true.
And it's also a good way of sort of like stepping gently into this new thing. Cause you know, up until this point, the idea of virtual reality has always been sort of that's nice. Like you see, like you would see the quote unquote arcades at like, you know, Great America and stuff like that. And you're just like, nobody looks cool with that on.
Yeah.
Not a single person.
Are you saying Lawnmower Man wasn't cool, though?
I'm saying nobody looks cool with that thing.
I'm saying it was cool. Man, don't forget the monkey, too. That was the best part.
That's true.
Nothing better than a murderous monkey.
That's true. Speaking of really cool things, but they're not murderous.
Oh, that's good.
Upgrade.
If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. So my next story.
Yes. We're now prepared.
I know, Caleb, the devil's advocate was
the movie?
Perhaps, yes.
Okay.
Perhaps your favorite Keanu Reeves and or Al Pacino film, Yes.
I've heard him say it all the time.
Or correct.
It is a movie.
That's right.
Positively.
It is your favorite. Well, Devil's Advocate is being adapted for TV by NBC.
Okay.
Quote, the newest attorney at the world's most powerful law firm has never lost a case, but he's about to lose his soul.
Dun, dun, dun,
Warner Bros. Television is developing The Devil's Advocate as a TV series for NBC based on the 1990 book of the same name.
Mm.
Property had a 97 film mm-hmm. adaption, which, mm-hmm. like I mentioned earlier, was perhaps Caleb's favorite Keanu Reeves slash right. Al Pacino
right.
film.
We're not going to assert that it was, just perhaps.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A 98.9% chance that it
right.
is.
We're fairly sure.
Yes. According to Entertainment Weekly, the series will follow an ambitious and extremely successful young attorney who is hired by a particularly devilish senior partner.
Oh. We're 98% sure that he's devilish.
Yes. But he is the devil, in fact. In the film version, the young attorney and Satan were played by Reeves and Pacino, respectively,
mm-hmm.
which Caleb already knew, seeing as this was, right. again, his favorite Keanu Reeves slash Al Pacino yeah. film.
It's mm. frustrating him, too, because he's, like, chomping at the bit to answer all of these things, but yes. we keep cutting him off.
Yeah, yeah, because that's what we do on the show.
Right.
So, yeah, Entertainment Weekly does point out that satanic storytelling hasn't done so well on network television lately, with ABC's 666 Park Avenue and NBC's Rosemary's Baby not really surviving, getting canceled, and whatnot.
People don't like the Satan all that much. Is that what I'm hearing?
He's not exactly,
maybe on is like it, network television.
Is it just not a very charismatic Satan? I'm not familiar with these Satans.
It seems to do better like this site's FX with American Horror Story and whatnot. Okay. And I would say like the CW with Supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the non-basic cable kind of channels.
Yeah, they
seem to have.
They can stand
better
be a little
story
bit
story lines.
Yeah, they can push the envelope a little bit further than most network television wants to go.
Yeah.
Jay, can you do a Seinfeld impression of what's with all these Satans?
I don't know, but maybe Caleb can.
What's with all these Satans, huh? Eh? I don't know. That's a terrible.
Not bad.
That's terrible.
Not bad. I was afraid I was going to butcher it, so thank you for making me feel better.
You're welcome.
Do your favorite now. Okay. Imagine yourself as, you have a choice. You can either be Keanu Reeves or Al Pacino,
and you just
heard this news, and you're like real excited, so pick one of those, and...
Whoa.
That's, okay, yeah, that
okay.
nailed it.
All right, that's a good Pacino.
Yeah.
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 There you go.
So, that...
And Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, baby!
Oh, yeah! Love the network!
CW, all the way.
It's gonna be on NBC, sir. I mean NBC.
It's got an N in there, right?
Oh yeah.
There's a C in it, right? NBC, CW, whatever.
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a tongue twister. Yeah. Speaking of tongue twisters, that's gonna do it for the news tonight.
That was actually fairly easy.
Well,
to say.
It's like a mental tongue twister in your mind
when
you think about it.
Yeah, okay.
Just imagine.
I thought about it a little bit.
Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves trying to do that together at the same time.
Twisting tongues together?
No. Trying to say that together at the same time. In the same inflection.
I already have a disturbing image of them.
And then you then
fighting
you'll
to get
see
out of my head.
That it's dangerous. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to take another music break and then come back with some geek talk.
There's like pliers involved.
Maybe. That's wow.
That's much further down the rabbit hole than I was expecting you to go.
Well, it's the devil.
But Al Pacino, though? I mean, he's not literally the devil.
I didn't realize. Okay. Sorry, Pacino.
All right, let's get to that music. We'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook
and check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KC Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. Before we get to Geek Talk, I've got our final PSA of the night, and it is a familiar one. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever home but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right, we are in Geek Talk. This is where we kick back, relax, talk about stuff we've watched, played, or just done in general. And
right.
Jason has done some dancing.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Clap trap?
I'm dancing.
Right. My goal is to be just like Clap Trap.
They got to beat.
Except without a gyroscopic mono wheel for legs. That seems inconvenient.
It does.
But anyway, I ended up grabbing Dance Central Spotlight the instant that I possibly could. Literally, I was like, it was my version of the midnight release, like staying up. Okay, any second now. It's going to be here any second. So I downloaded it and then proceeded to not play it for like 2 days because, you have to find the right time to dance in when your psyche is aligned it and when roommates are possibly not staring at you and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I found such an instant earlier today, and I am pleased to announce that it is quite good. The most obvious upgrade is that it attaches to the new version of the Kinect, which seems to translate the moves much more seamlessly than before. But most importantly, I didn't need a humongous apartment in order to play it this time.
That's a nice change of pace.
Just as some history for the audience, you've played...
Right. I was addicted to... Okay, not addicted. I wasn't like slapping my wrist or anything like that. But I played a lot of the first one, and I ended up buying the second one, but ended up not playing so much of it, unfortunately, just because, like, moving and stuff like that.
No.
But...
as in moving apartments.
Right, yeah. I'm a big fan of the series. Didn't get to play 3, like, hardly at all, because at that point I was in a much smaller apartment.
Mm.
But...
And the original Kinect needed a lot more space.
Right. It needed a fairly sizable room. Like, you needed at least
10 feet, I think.
10 or 12, something like that, in order to make it work. And so I was really looking forward to it with the new Kinect. The new Kinect, if you angle it right and get it as high as possible, I was managing to play with the Kinect literally like 2 feet in front of me.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive. And I'm not a short guy either. I fill up the screen pretty easy.
Mm.
But yeah, it worked absolutely flawlessly for me. Mainly though, I have to get used to all of the dance moves again because I lost a lot of coordination in the meantime. my first song was Happy from the
Pharrell.
Right, Pharrell from the soundtrack.
Despicable Me
2. Yeah, Despicable Me 2 soundtrack. And it has much more delicate hand movements than I was used to from the previous ones. I was all gearing up, like, okay, I'm going to stretch out my legs, be able to get ready for all of the fancy feet. But no, it's like all of the easy stuff that I obviously have to start with is a lot more delicate hand movements than before. Mostly, I'm guessing, because the Kinect is a lot more sensitive than it was before.
Mm.
So you can do much more interesting stuff with your hands now.
Okay.
So it's something that I wasn't expecting. I would have been completely happy just with the normal, like, footsie dance moves.
Because that was going to be one of my questions was, for those who are thinking, like, oh, is this just, like, a port type of thing, you know, from the 360 version.
It's definitely an upgrade. but okay. The biggest thing that ended up getting me on it was at first I wasn't concerned with there only being 10 songs along with the game because the game is only like $10, so a dollar per song is like a bargain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it did end up, I don't know, I was concerned kind of in the back of my mind because I don't want to jump directly into buying a ton of songs right away.
Uh-huh.
But the way that they fix that in this game is they made each one of the songs a lot more playable by having 8 different routines for each song. So you end up unlocking them by acing the previous routine, which I didn't manage to do. So, yeah, I still got to work on that. And but yeah, I'm very happy with it, even on easy mode at this point.
But it's so basically, it sounds like they've added a lot of replayability, even if you don't have a lot of songs.
Like, right. It looks like what they're trying to do on this one, and they mentioned this in a lot of the promotional texts and whatnot, too, that they're trying to make it more about having chunks of moves that can be ported to different things. So it's a much larger dance move list that can be chained together, so it makes it so it's way more streamlined for bringing new songs into the game. You don't have to completely choreograph a new routine for every single thing. Okay. You just end up doing mocap on a bunch of dancers and then turn chunks of that into dance moves, and then you end up having a much larger selection of stuff that you can do.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how it works when they're adding more songs to it. The kind of catch already is that they added like 50 extra songs to the buyable list. So there's plenty there for you to gobble up. But they're already saying, too, that they're going to have all of the songs from the previous games. So
That's a deep library just like from the get-go.
Right. Well, at least
early in the development.
It was the nice thing about the other games, too, is that if you bought one of the songs from a previous game, you could still play it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm really happy about that just because I'll be able to actually use the songs that I downloaded for the previous games.
Yeah, that's one thing that the Harmonix team has always, the Harmonix group, the game group has always been really good at is like when they make a new version of their music game, it actually picks up music from all the previous versions of that game, like Rock Band. Like for Rock Band 3, you played all the stuff from Rock Band 1, just played it a little bit differently, but it was still all playable, and it's like it just adds like hours and hours and hours to an already like awesomely long game.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they're going to handle like the blocks of songs from the previous games, because mostly I was talking about the DLC songs,
right,
that you end up purchasing, but it'll be interesting because they're planning on having them all from what I understand.
Sweet.
And they're going to also try and make it so now that they have it so streamlined, they're going to try and release dance versions of all of the songs as soon as they get popular also. So that'll be kind of neat too.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, that's something with Rock Band that was kind of a problem. Like if there was any kind of new, like, hit songs,
it
took a while for them to get in if they could kind of capitalize on, like, oh, that song's being played, like, right now on the radio is popular, like, I want to sing it or I want to play guitar on it or, you know, drums or whatever, but, oh, they got it, but it's, like, 6 months down the road or something.
Yeah, Dance Central definitely fixes that with how they animate their people and so on.
Yeah, to be fair, like doing that for Rock Band was a considerably more
intensive
task, but yeah.
Still, that's no excuse. I mean, they should just not have a life and not do anything but just please me, because that's the only thing that I that should be cared about. But no, yeah, obviously.
I think you're out of line, sir.
No, I'm not, said the internet.
Yeah, quote internet. Quote dash.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I think it's just the DLC that they're porting over, right? Not like the songs from like the games,
discs.
Right?
Well, that's what I was actually kind of wondering about, because it made it sound like they were going to, but I don't know if it's going to end up being batches of songs that you can download.
Okay.
So, or if it's going to be singles that you can grab as DLC this time around. So I'd think that they'd have a Dance Central 1-pack, Dance Central 2-pack type of thing. But
which I think would be kind of rad. Maybe a slight discount on the whole pack.
Right.
When you get all the songs, but...
Yeah. Yeah, because generally, like with Rock Band, you still had to pay a certain amount of money to transfer the songs over.
Right.
And it was still like an amazing deal.
Oh, yeah.
But you still had to pay a little bit. So imagine it'll probably be the same thing. It's like you probably get the DLC you bought for free, but like the ones... Because generally, too, I think there's like licensing issues with the ones that are on the disc versus just on downloadable.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, and that's actually been an interesting challenge, like the licensing thing, like is a different medium. But I remember on Netflix, like Supernatural for a while didn't have like the original soundtrack for the show.
Yeah,
which I think they've worked out with the rights holders, because I watched it on Netflix the other day recently, and it had like, you know, the actual licensed music as part of the soundtrack. So I'm like, okay,
that's good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if that's the case, that's.
Or maybe they were able to broker...
Makes me actually want to watch it on there now.
Or they may have brokered a deal where they got, like, the key songs that were part of it, and then, you know, the rest of them are there, do what they can, but...
Yeah.
It sounded like the... Because, like, especially in the last episode that we watched, which was... I can't remember the name of it now, but it ends up... The episode ends on a pretty identifiable song.
Something about a reaper?
No, not that one. It's a...
Fearing...
No, that one has come up, but it's not in this season. It actually played like the actual track with with the singers and with the real band. I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, because there's certain shows where you're like, eh, but then there's some shows where the music is kind of part of the show, so
yeah,
it's nice when you have it.
Have it all together. So But the challenge bring it back together is that they had rights problems, and I'm sure that Harmonix is working through it. And it sounds like if they got the rights in the first place, they might be able to renegotiate that without a significant amount of problem.
Yeah.
Into the
because actually, yeah, the Wonder Years was a similar thing. I think it was the like a DVD set of it or something. Something about it being like the music rights, it was like way too expensive for actually having like a physical set.
Because
I know it's online and I haven't watched it if it has the music on that. But, but yeah, I think like the actress who played Winnie Cooper like responded to someone's tweet saying like, it's the music rights. That's why there's no like set of it, because it's just way too expensive to get all that music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of those shows, like it's not cheap getting that music.
No.
Like recently I got to watch the film we backed on Kickstarter a while back called Stripped, which is about comic strips.
Ooh.
The history of comic strips. Oh. And like there were one of the things that held up the production of the film, like not insignificant amount, was getting clearance rights, in this case visual work, but like now, there was also a certain amount of music work that they had to like get clearance for, and they were like, it's been quite the trudge getting some of this stuff.
Yeah. I know in the last remaining minutes of the show, you actually had a follow-up to our core topic from last week.
Yeah, last week we were talking about like sort of the awkward blending of feminism with gaming culture, for lack of a better phrase. And
that makes it sound really horrible.
I don't quite see it, but I'm with you. All right. It isn't like some of this misogynistic behavior isn't just relegated to gaming. It's the tech industry as a whole and the internet as a whole has kind of had some struggles with how it, you know,
douchiness.
Yes. And
that's the technical term.
Yeah. The guys over at the founder of FARC, which is a fantastic website. It's sort of a weird newsy social people write it people bring the news to the site kind of thing, and then they all discuss it. It, like many other sites that involve a lot of user content, has struggled with having, you know, misogynistic and openly hostile environment for
douches.
The users. Yes. And so, and they've been working on tightening up their guidelines for a while for the moderators. Like, you know, you take you can work, take these, delete these, don't worry about these. But finally, they've added a full set of misogyny guidelines. Like, if you see this, take it right out. Things like rape jokes, or as it has its turn, slut shaming, or where you use those sort of words, that sort of language, to demean another person, whether it is that person's actually a woman or not, is it the language is bad.
I'm looking forward to no longer being slut shamed. So
there you go. Yeah. And also, you know, so basically, like, you know, these things that have sort of become not staples of the internet, but not uncommon on the internet, and are like, there's people like starting to make a very open public stand against this sort of behavior, which is pretty cool. And Jason reminded me of another thing that recently came out. A gentleman wrote a an open letter to the gaming community, kind of like, and what it says is, we believe that everyone, no matter gender, orientation, ethnicity, religion, disability, has the right to play games, criticize games, and make games without being harassed, threatened. It is the diversity of our community which allows the games to flourish. And he kind of passed around to some people in the industry, and over 2,000 signatories have like signed on, including
giant companies,
including developers, like head developers from Rockstar North, Naughty Dog, DICE, and Infinity Ward, and a few others,
and EA.
Nice. Yeah, EA itself. So
what?
I know.
So like, does this mean it's going to change overnight? And probably not. But at least we're looking it in the eye and saying, okay,
bad douches, bad.
Rolled up newspaper. This needs to change, and we're committed to figuring out what to do going forward. We can't necessarily make up for what's gone on before, but we can at least make changes going forward. So
nice.
So there's hope for the future, and it sounds like there's fairly high level commitment to figuring out good ways to deal with these issues. So here's to you, leadership in gaming community. Keep it up, internet community as well. Please, now, we're not saying that you can't make jokes, but make jokes that aren't completely demeaning to other people, if possible. Like, if you want, because like on the internet, no one can tell if you're making a joke or you're making a threat.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's no context for your words.
Make jokes with it in your mind. The worst case scenario for somebody reading your joke. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So there you go. That's sort of a neat follow up for, you know, it's not just Joss Whedon and a few and Tim of Legend. There's a lot of other people that are on board with trying to figure out how to make this work better for everybody.
Nice. All right, that's going to do it for tonight's show. Thank you for listening to Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. I'm going to turn it over to Robo DJ, but before that, I just want to say have an awesome weekend. If you're back at school, which many people are, not particularly at KSCU, you know.
No.
But they'll be back
many,
soon.
Yeah, there are many people out there hitting the books. So
hitting them hard.
Yeah.
Good hitting them early
with the new year, and have a wonderful weekend. And again, we love it when you participate on the show. And Caleb, let's tell them one last time how they can do that. Even though the show is over with, it's still not too late.
Yep. Right. We're nearing the end, but there is still time for you to interact with us, because the internet's open 24/7. And because I'm talking about what's on the internet, it's awesome that way. So you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or do a search for us, Robots Attack, two words. That'll be us. Or you can go over Twitter, twitter.com/robotsattackme. It's all one word. And then our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you have to remember one thing only, Remember, robotsattack.me. Robotsattack.me. That is our own website. That's where we have our archived episodes, links to our stories, and comment section, email section. It's all there. You can interact with, continue to interact with us. We would love to hear your feedback. Tell us your feelings on some of this Gamergate stuff, or things that we've missed, things that we should be aware of, things that you want us to cover. Please let us know. We would like to make this show even more awesome for you, our listening audience.
That's right.
You can be like Wow Cool and get send recommendations.
Yes. All right. On behalf of myself, Caleb, and Jason, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.